Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It is Monday, November 2nd.
Last month wasn't great. We just finished the worst month for stocks since March.
Jack, happy November.
Happy November. It's actually V-Day minus one today.
And it's a TBOY.
This actually is like way better than the last podcast we did.
For our first story, happy election eve, Snackers.
Snackers, we're looking at what stocks could be affected by a potential Biden presidency.
And what stocks would be affected by a potential Trump second term.
So we're also going to hit our second story. What do we got, Jack?
Pinterest stock surged by 30% on one day alone last week.
Honestly, Jack and I noticed it's all thanks to the rise of the Pinterest dude, the pin dude.
I confess.
Yep.
I'm becoming a bit of a pin dude.
Full disclosure. Third and final story, Jack.
Netflix and Spotify are pretty similar if you think about it. They're both streaming giants. They both charge about 10 bucks a month.
One's video, one's audio, and now they're both jacking up prices on us. This came out of nowhere.
But one is much easier to share passwords than the other. You know who we're talking
about. But before we jump into that wonderful mix of stories, tomorrow's the day. It is the day.
Tomorrow is V-Day, but context is king. So let's go back to Philadelphia, summer of 1787.
Jack, was 72 degrees and sunny, and the Continental Congress got together 4 months to draft a business plan for a new nation.
Now, what was so unique about the American Constitution, it was the first time democracy was established on that scale.
And what was so special about this Constitution is that they drafted it so that our democracy can scale.
They preempted the inevitable VC question, but can it scale?
Okay, it comes up in every fundraise meeting. Real thing, real issue.
Now, they knew, the founding fathers did, that things would change and evolve, and that would need to be reflected in our Constitution.
For example, along with that gorgeous calligraphy we've all seen in the Philadelphia museums, not so much on the gorgeous inclusion.
Yes, at the time when it was ratified, the Constitution only guaranteed white men the right to vote in this country.
It wasn't until 1870, after a civil war and the 15th Amendment, that black people got the right to vote.
They technically got the right to vote, Nick, but not really. We'll get to that in a second.
And then after the women's suffrage movement, women got the right to vote too in 1920 with the 19th Amendment to the Constitution.
These amendments are looking good. Also, suffragettes got it done.
And then in the 1960s, 100 years after technically getting the right to vote, black people actually got the right to vote.
That was with the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
And today, there are still people trying to prevent certain people from doing actual voting.
The early takeaway here, America's not perfect.
Our democracy is pretty damn good.
Yeah, let's look at the comparables here. This summer in Russia, the guy who was running against Vladimir Putin was poisoned, probably by Putin's government.
Oh yeah, and today in Hong Kong, you'll be arrested for speaking up against the Chinese governing party
in Hong Kong.
Nick, you know I was a German major in college. The last election of East Germany in 1989, the winning party received 98.5% of the votes.
It's a roundup situation. East Germans, they were nudged not so gently by the secret police, you know, to vote for the ruling party. And that's what happened.
Snackers, America's democracy is not perfect and change takes time.
In fact, Chile is drafting a whole new constitution right now again.
We're using the same one from over 200 years ago.
Our constitution and democracy get better every time we vote, like tomorrow.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, Pinterest stock just popped 30% on one day last week. Thanks to the pin dude. We also saw a new competitive advantage for medium tech.
For medium tech.
You know, Snackers, honestly, big tech, it's getting all the attention right now, Jeff.
How about like medium tech? Like not a tiny startup, but also not Amazon.
We got a Goldilocks situation going on here we got to address.
Facebook is worth nearly $1 trillion and has billions of users.
Turns out Pinterest is worth billions of dollars and has millions of users.
Everything Pinterest does is one level of magnitude smaller than Facebook.
Pinterest is like, let's look at Facebook's earnings, just cut off 3 zeros.
It's actually just a game of math.
Yeah, basically. Now, Pinterest, Snackers, it was already winning the Corona economy because you're going for the creative high intent activities right now.
Pinterest isn't the mindless scroll on the toilet. Pinterest is when you need an answer or inspiration on something visual.
Jack, are we doing subway tile for the backsplash? Are we doing the fig tree next to it? Or are we going to go with a cactus?
That's right. You go to Pinterest with an intention and eventual plans to buy something.
Jack, the answer, by the way, you went with the mosaic tile and you're going to end up with a giant succulent. We all do.
And that is why the stock had quadrupled since March, even before last week's big jump.
You got an unprecedented amount of people with an unprecedented amount of time and an unprecedented level of focus on their home spaces right now.
And shopping to do.
And they're shopping. But what Jack and I found fascinating was one detail within Pinterest earnings, which is a big shift that they call the post-COVID man.
We call it the rise of pin dudes.
Yep. The rise of the pin dudes. Snackers, they will focus on Pinterest, on the reality that women were the first to embrace Pinterest and were proud of it. That's what they say at Pinterest.
And women still represent 60% of the active user base on Pinterest.
Get these numbers, Snackers. On Pinterest, men search for the term kitchen storage solutions 7 times more in the last quarter than they did a year ago.
And in this last quarter, there was a 6x increase in the number of men checking out pins on fashion streetwear.
Oh, and there was a 7x increase in men looking up creative makeup looks.
And another 6x increase in men checking out artisan bread recipes.
The post-COVID man, the Pinterest pin dude, it is more aesthetic. He is more wholesome. He is into baking and he's definitely not gluten-free.
He might be gluten-free.
He could be gluten-free. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Pinterest?
Pinterest just surged because of a new competitive advantage. It is a safe space for advertisers.
Snackers, the other key numbers from that earnings report, Pinterest enjoyed a 37% surge in users that led to a 58% surge in new revenues.
The reason revenues outpaced user growth is because Pinterest is a positive corner of the internet with no political ads since 2018.
No. In fact, positive corner of the internet, that's what they're describing it. And that's what both users and advertisers are thinking too.
If you're a user who is tired of conspiracy theory rabbit holes and all caps rage posts,
you went to Pinterest in the last 3 months.
If you're an advertiser who doesn't want your ad to appear next to an anti-vax post by your crazy aunt,
you went to Pinterest in the last 3 months.
And that is because brands care about brand sentiment.
If your Dove soap ad is adjacent to some ugly content on social media, people are going to remember Dove as ugly. It's psychology.
In a world of big tech social media controversy, Pinterest has become a safe space.
For our second story, Netflix and Spotify are facing more competition than ever.
So they're doing the opposite of what you'd expect them to do in response.
And it doesn't make any sense, but it makes so much sense. Jack, are you enjoying Emily in Paris right now? Are you having fun with that Fleetwood Mac album? What are you doing? What is going on?
Yes to the second, no to the first.
Okay.
I'm watching Stranger Things season one. It was a great Halloween weekend activity.
Are you watching it again? This is the third time.
I'm watching it the third time. No trick-or-treating.
Nope.
Just getting afraid from the Demogorgons.
At some point, we're going to need a disclosure in here if you keep watching that show.
In the meantime, snackers, you are going to notice your monthly bill is about to rise.
Netflix announced last week that their standard subscription is going from $13 to $14 a month, and their premium subscription, don't know anyone who has that,
nope,
is going from $16 to $18.
I think my mom actually has that.
But Spotify, in the meantime, also said in their earnings last week, they're going to plan to raise some prices too.
Right. Spotify is currently $9.99 for the premium account per month.
Yes, it is.
So they're going to have to venture into the dreaded double-digit territory.
Somewhere at some top 10 business school, a professor is really angry about behavioral psychology right now.
Now, Nick and I want to highlight a fundamental truth of the media industry. People have a finite amount of time in their day, just like they have a finite amount of space in their stomach.
Yeah, snackers, here's how you can think about the media industry. Every day, there are a certain number of hours you're consuming media, just like you have a certain number of meals.
And in the last year, there have been a surge in new options of streamed media for users to indulge in.
And a wide variety. Let's check out the streaming buffet. In the last year, you got Disney Plus, Apple TV, HBO Max, Peacock, Quibi for a period.
Let's expand our mind a little on this buffet theme. You can also TikTok all day or listen to a podcast or check out anything on YouTube.
Or maybe now you're streaming a Vinyasa Flow free on the Nike app, or you're hitting a new HIIT routine on Peloton's new app.
Snackers, what Nick and I are trying to say here is there's a lot of media fighting for your finite time, and we're thankful you're listening to Snacks Daily.
That's true. That's true. That's the early takeaway here. Now, Netflix and Spotify are looking at all that new competition in all new places, including from like fitness apps, and they're thinking they can go in one of two directions.
The first direction is the path more traveled, the easier path.
It is. They cut prices. That's it. Super simple. Force the other new competition to lower their prices too.
Netflix and Spotify can afford to cut prices, but these newcomer competition, maybe they can't. So they're thinking they could win in the long run in a price war.
But the harder path to take in this case would be doing the opposite, and that would be raising prices.
Don't worry about what the competition is doing. Focus on your company and your customers.
Netflix is raising prices to focus on themselves.
With this extra revenue coming in, they can pour even more money into content and have even better shows.
Jack, have you seen the attention to detail in season 5 of The Crown? Next year, they can build the whole Buckingham Palace.
An actual one-to-one replica.
They're going to do it. They're probably going to do it. Reed.
Shame the Queen!
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Netflix and Spotify?
For Netflix, the churn is worth the burn.
Snackers, we got our own case study here, courtesy of Netflix.
Last time Netflix raised prices was in January of 2019.
Yeah, Jack and I checked on it. Back then, cancellation rates rose. Some people were frustrated.
Yeah, some people ended their subscriptions, but revenues rose too for those who didn't cut their subscriptions.
Revenues rose too.
They lost $12 a month for the million or 2 million subscribers who were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm canceling Netflix. Mm-mm. I can't stand these price increases.
But Netflix gained $1 a month for over 100 million people who didn't quit on Netflix.
Because, snackers, if someone told you Netflix was going away, how much would you pay to get Netflix not to go away from your life?
Yeah, you're gonna pay
an extra
dollar. You're gonna pay an extra dollar too. For our third and final story, tomorrow is Election Day.
So we gotta break down the overall impact on Election Day on stocks.
Which is like the number one question we've been getting on Twitter. What's your take on stocks in the election? Jack and I keep getting this.
Here's our take on stocks in the election.
Yeah, so here it is. By the way, full disclosure, what we think has like, you know, a good plus or minus 50% chance of being totally wrong.
It is hard to predict anything about this election, and 2016 is a good example of that.
Cough, cough. Guess it is. Now, the biggest boost to stocks in the last 4 years came in 2017 with the corporate tax cut from Trump and the Republicans.
When that law passed, profits for companies rose by about 25%.
Yeah,
overnight, like any company.
But now you got a situation where the economy is sick with COVID and stocks, We're kind of getting bumped up by the extraordinary moves of the Federal Reserve.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing the Fed is doing, and it's boosting the ocean of stocks overall.
So when Jack and I are looking at the wide spectrum of stocks we look at every day that is out there, there are sectors of stocks that may love or hate a progressive or conservative policy.
Scenario number one, let's say Biden wins the election on tomorrow.
Yeah, that could be good for car companies, for example, because it would lead to clarity on fuel emission standards.
The number one thing investors and executives love is clarity about the future.
Clarity. And car companies, they're already moving electric, but a Biden election would solidify them having to do electric.
The cannabis industry is also likely to benefit because Kamala Harris mentioned legalization as a priority in the vice presidential debate.
Yeah, cannabis stocks, they're a long-term bet on federal legalization. They're kind of dependent on that.
As it is today, you can't scale a Colorado THC beer business because you're not allowed to ship it to Florida because of federal illegal status.
And then if you look at stocks overall, many Wall Street analysts are thinking a Biden presidency would simply bring stability.
Imagine an economy with fewer trade wars, less policy volatility, and less social strife.
Yeah, you try to put a new countertop that's made in China, the price isn't going to pop 25% when you check it out the next week.
Okay, those are some sectors that could benefit with a Biden presidency.
But if there's a Trump win, the first sector we're looking at is oil and gas.
Trump is opposed to a transition away from fossil fuels.
BP, though, is already transitioning away from fossil fuels, so they may want a Biden presidency, and so would, like, you know, a First Solar, who we just talked about.
Yes, but the oil and gas industry, like ExxonMobil, Chevron, the oil companies, the gas companies, they are rooting for a Trump presidency.
Then you got the defense companies, which tend to get a lot more funding under Republican administrations.
Lockheed Martin manufactures the F-16 Fighting Falcon Air Force jet, and Trump loves pitching that, like when he visits Saudi Arabia.
So when you see stocks overall under a potential Trump victory, that could preserve corporate tax cuts, which would probably benefit stocks.
You're noticing, snackers, we think stocks overall could gain in a Trump or a Biden presidency because we can't predict this.
But then there are the fascinating sectors where it's totally unclear right now.
Healthcare, on the one hand, more people will likely be covered and paying for healthcare under a Biden presidency.
But this is where it gets funky, because on the other hand, pre-existing conditions will be forced to be covered, and then there'd be public competition, which would also come.
Those are both under the Biden administration. There's good and there's bad for the healthcare industry.
Then let's look at the big banks for a moment.
A Biden administration may lead to higher infrastructure spending, which would require a lot of borrowing, which would likely increase interest rates overall, which is good for banks.
But a Biden administration could also come with tougher financial regulations, which could harm big banks.
Lastly, let's take a look at big tech. They're likely facing higher scrutiny no matter who's elected.
Yeah, for different reasons from both sides. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the entire United States of America?
If you own stocks, you signed up for risk.
Yeah, snackers, maybe you're super worried about your investments based on the election right now. You might be in too many stocks if that's the case.
I'm not doing anything with my stocks based on the election.
Full disclosure, Jack, I'm not doing anything over the next week with my stocks either. With the election.
We're in stocks for the long term, and we're not trying to time our buys and sells based on politics.
But a little exercise you can go through over the next 24 hours is imagine a bad scenario where your stocks, your portfolio, fell by 20% because of the election.
If that is unacceptable to you and you'd be in like major, major trouble, then you're probably in too much stocks right now.
Stocks can be a good investment if you're willing to accept the risk that comes with them.
If you're not willing to accept the risk, then there are less risky things to invest in.
Yeah.
Like bonds,
true.
Mutual funds,
check.
Even just keeping it in cash.
An extra takeaway here, you should probably just vote tomorrow.
Jack, could you whip up the takeaways or something over there? Pinterest is benefiting because guys are bidding more.
And it's a safe space for advertisers.
For our second story, Netflix is jacking up prices again.
Jack, can you say it with me?
Here we go. One, two, three.
The churn is worth the burn.
Because Netflix is investing in itself.
For our third and final story, stock markets will probably be more volatile this week than other weeks.
And when you invest in stocks, you're signing up for risk. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Charlie Kleeman in lovely Denver, Colorado.
WD-40 is both a publicly traded company
And the thing you spray on door hinges so that it stops squeaking so much.
Just toss some WD on that thing. Now, it first appeared on store shelves back in 1958 in lovely San Diego.
But before that, WD-40 was used to prevent rust on military missiles.
But if you're curious where the name comes from, here's the breakdown. The WD Jack,
water displacement,
stands for water displacement.
And the 40 stands for the fact that they didn't perfect the recipe until the 40th try.
It's actually a great life lesson. WD-40, keep trying.
It's like Johnny 5.
Yeah, it's like Johnny 5.
Snackers, that's it. Tomorrow's election day. Make a plan.
Make sure you vote.
We'll see you there. We can hang out online with you.
If you got a buddy who needs transportation and it's COVID friendly, maybe you can give them a ride.
You may as well. Both of you should vote.
Nick and Al, see you tomorrow.
And before we go, Snackers, congrats to Snackers Enrique and Zara. They're moving in together down in Houston.
And Meredith Herr is getting a new job in Atlanta, Georgia.
And Justin and Chelsea celebrating the 1 year over in Nashville, Tennessee.
Catherine and Ricardo are celebrating 7 years in Miami Beach, Florida.
And I'm in Soleil getting married over in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
And happy birthday to Luke Nagashima in Honolulu, Hawaii.
And to Colton Penning in Pekin, Illinois.
And Jake, a.k.a. Baby Einstein in New York City.
And Abby Reisner over in Brooklyn.
And Grace Nelson in San Diego, California.
And happy birthday to Denitra Hayes in Olathe, Kansas.
This is Jack. I own stock of Spotify.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.